You're listening to the Become Stronger podcast. In this episode, I have a special guest, Jade Isbister, who is a competitive powerlifter who represented New Zealand numerous times, and she also competed in her first bodybuilding show this year. In this episode, she is going to share her amazing story on how she overcame eating disorders in her teenage years and turned her passion of strength training into a career. Keep listening. Welcome to the Become Stronger podcast. My name is Manuel Kiselak, and I'm really happy that you're tuning in again. And today I have a guest, and who is the guest, Jane?
So, hi everyone. My name's Jade Isbister. I'm a powerlifter. I live in New Zealand. I am also like a coach, personal trainer. I own a gym over here, and I've recently just done my first bodybuilding comp. So, that's a little bit about me.
So that's great. So for the backstory, we've met in Croatia in 2019. We're both doing powerlifting, and both doing strength coaching. So, there's definitely some things we can think about. So,
sure.
You already mentioned that you're competing in powerlifting as well as in bodybuilding, and that you're also a coach. So, tell me a bit about, or tell the audience a bit about your background. How did you get into this whole thing?
Okay, so I have been powerlifting probably for about 5 years. I originally got into it. I was never very sporty or anything like that in school. I wasn't really into sports. And I really struggled throughout my teenage years. I had an eating disorder for probably the better part of my teenage years, and that's kind of when I found lifting. So I was going to the gym, but it was all about cardio and getting smaller, and it was really unhealthy. So I started looking up, came across a few people in my area that were doing powerlifting, and I was really inspired by them and seeing that there was more to working out than just the way you looked. It was about how you could perform and building strength, and I found that really awesome. So that's what kind of got me into lifting. And then once I started lifting and I built so much more confidence, I stopped focusing on my body so much. I started to focus on how I could build strength. And I found it really empowering, and kind of went from there. I ended up taking it quite seriously. And I have represented New Zealand 4 times in that time frame. And, it was probably the best thing that I could have done for my mental health, for my overall health. And, I honestly owe powerlifting and lifting a huge part of my life. It's helped me so much, not just physically, but mentally as well. So hopefully that kind of sums up a little bit about me. And ended up opening my own gym. It became my career. I love what I do. I love helping other people find the same joy out of lifting that I got. So
that's awesome. So I really love your story, because it's also quite similar to my background, since I started lifting also in my teenage years, because I used to be the weak kid, the small kid, the weird kid. And for me, the main thing was really, I was having a really hard time with my confidence. So back then I had no confidence at all. And I was basically spending all my time in front of my computer playing some online games. I had this really heavy gaming habit and addiction. I was playing up to 100 hours of video games per week.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And I just had to change, or I knew that I had to change. And so
yeah,
I got
it's amazing, what lifting can do for you, like mentally as well.
Yeah, so because it's quite interesting. You also mentioned that at the beginning it was more about your appearance, and this was the same thing for me. So the first goal when I got into the gym or into training was, yeah, I want to have a six pack. I don't know why, but I just need to do something other than playing video games. And so I started working out. But over time I really got hooked onto this whole strength thing. I did my education in this field and also got into powerlifting, and I also built pretty much my life and all my work around this. So I really like it. That's why I really love your story here also.
That's awesome.
So how was it for you to really make your career around this?
So it was a challenge, I think, but also where I live, there wasn't many gyms, and there definitely wasn't many strength specific gyms. So there was a bit of a gap in the market where I am locally, which is kind of what allowed us to start the gym, which is kind of where it all started. I started as a personal trainer working in gyms. I studied personal training. So I did that first. I got a bit of experience working for other local gyms as a PT, and then I sort of branched out on my own. I was doing a little bit of mobile PTing, so going around to people's houses, and then the opportunity came up for us to open the gym. There was a good building, and it just took off. It was it was a huge investment and a lot of extremely scary, and it was a big risk on our part, but it definitely paid off. And it's just grown. We've been open for 3 years now, it's grown heaps in that time, and we've sort of branched out now into I do a bit of online coaching as well now, especially with the COVID situation. It kind of makes sense to just diversify a little bit and go online and be able to reach more people as well. It's been awesome. It's been a lot of learning, working with all kinds of different people, it's been really good.
So what would you say is the difference with the way you approach your gym and the whole stuff compared to most, let's call them, normal gyms?
So we do take on everyone. So we take on all kinds of people. So we have general population clients, but we also, because of my interest in powerlifting, we kind of filled the gym with things that I wanted. So we have a lot of squat racks, bench presses, barbells, free weights, that kind of thing. So we've kind of catered towards the strength athlete, but at the same time, all kinds of people are welcome in the gym. Anyone who just wants to get stronger, fitter, healthier, then come to us and we can help them. And that is probably, I would say 80% of our clients are general population people who are just interested in, improving their health, getting stronger. And I find that once you introduce them to strength training, they fall in love with it. I think there's still a bit of a misconception out there about lifting weights, especially for females. It's still very prevalent that women tend to shy away from lifting weights, and they feel like they're going to get massive or bulky, and they say the word toning a lot. So we try and educate people about the benefits of weight training and how beneficial it can be, not just physically and mentally, and you don't have to compete in powerlifting to see the benefits of strength training. So
I think that's awesome, because when you reach out to the general population, in this field there's so much nonsense going on, and also stuff you mentioned that especially women, they have some fears around really touching the heavyweights because they think they'll turn into Ronnie Coleman overnight. And
I wish, yeah.
What I always say to women in this situation is, look, I've been busting my ass for like, I don't know, 10 years almost now, and I still don't look like this. And so you don't have to worry if you've been training for like a couple of months that you're just gonna really explode.
Exactly.
If you step down from the treadmill and do some squats, it's not overnight, and yeah, you can understand that this is like really a ton of work. So
yeah, it can be frustrating, but I do understand the fears, and I think it's just about educating people about it. And I think when they look at me, they see that I'm, you know, with clothes on, like I don't really, you probably wouldn't even be able to tell that I lift. So you know, it's I'm still trying to get massive. You know, yeah, 10 years later.
Yeah, that's really cool, and I think you're doing a really, really good job and also educating people, because and you see the change. I think there's definitely a positive change going on.
For sure.
Especially in what we talked with women getting more and more confident into getting the sport. So I've been on a seminar here in Austria, and they said that for the juniors division in Austria, we have actually more women signing up than men. And I think that's really a good trend, because more and more, I mean, the sport in general is growing, which I think is really, really amazing, because
awesome.
For me personally, this sport has done so much. So basically my whole life right now is revolving around the sport, because
I love that. I love that so much. It's the same as me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm training. Training is my passion. I've built my business around this. My whole work is revolving around this, and I wouldn't change a thing. So and this is like really something which I'm also passionate about, to get this message out to people, especially if you're struggling, if you don't know what to do, just start lifting. It may sound weird.
Pretty much, yeah.
But this is going to teach you so much. So it's going to teach you consistency. It's going to teach you discipline, how to stick to your goals, how to set goals. And you can apply this with everything else, because right now if I'm facing some challenges and I'm like, shit, how can I get past this? I can always think back to the gym when I was doing squats with 100 kg and I felt like I was gonna die, and now it's just walking stairs. And this is something which you can build through the gym, and I would also say in a very, very safe way, because you have these small increases all the time, of course, if you do it smart. So we really, really, I'm passionate about it.
And you can tell as well that you're passionate about it. It's awesome, and I love it, because I'm also the same. Like, I owe so much to powerlifting, and even though, you know, I might take a break from powerlifting or do bodybuilding or whatever, it's always going to be like my one true passion is strength sports. So I love it.
Very nice. So one topic I get asked regularly about, and that's relationship with food. And this is something which I personally sometimes struggle to really give advice, because for me personally, it has never been like a big deal. Like, to some degree, okay, you're a skinny dude and you want to gain weight and you're staying small and you're, needing to push yourself into eating more. But I think your background is really, something which will be helpful to a lot more people. So you mentioned that you had some eating disorders in your teenage years, and now you're competing in bodybuilding. So to anyone who has done some dieting into this direction. So I've done a light version of a bodybuilding diet for my education. So I know it's a tough thing. So it's really a tough thing. Yeah. And I think especially if you are having this background. So could you share how you did those changes? So what shifts did you make to this point?
Yeah, I think that first of all, I would just say that to anyone who is, you know, going through struggles with food or their relationship with food, I would say firstly, do not do a bodybuilding competition. That would be my first thing to say. Until you feel, I would say that you've had a couple years of where you feel mentally okay, you have a good your relationship with food is better. You can, you know, you don't get triggered or relapse or have relapses. I'd say at least get a couple of years under your belt of, I guess, recovery before you would even consider doing something as extreme as a bodybuilding diet. Because for myself, I did, I would have said that I was based pretty much, you know, I've been recovered for a while, quite a long time, and I felt really confident that I could do it without having any issues. But I was aware that, you know, I was willing to pull the plug on this if I noticed that things are starting to, you know, go downhill. And yeah, there were definitely moments throughout my prep where I was close to, you know, mentally it was getting quite tough. And yeah, I have a really like newfound respect for bodybuilders because it is hard. It is really, really hard to prep for a bodybuilding competition. But I would just say to make sure you have a good coach. If you can have a coach that does understand what eating disorders and things like that, have a coach that you feel comfortable being open and honest with. If you're hiding things from your coach or you feel like you can't talk openly with your coach about the things that you're going through, then they shouldn't be your coach and you should probably find someone else to coach you. Yeah, and so apart from that, I would also say make sure you have those healthy habits and routines and practices in place before you start a bodybuilding prep. So make sure if you want to, if that's something you're thinking about, make sure you've been living the lifestyle for, you know, a year beforehand. Make sure that you've been getting in your training consistently, that you're fueling yourself properly, and you're tracking your macros, you're doing all these things that are going to set you up for success and not be so stressful for you if you want to do a bodybuilding prep, especially if you've had past issues with food. Make sure you're, you know, practicing those behaviors at a less extreme level before you start to see if it's something that you can safely do. I would also say have a plan for your post-show recovery. I see a lot of people, they do this bodybuilding show, they look amazing, and then 2 weeks later they've put on 10 kilos and everything's just gone out the window. They're in a terrible place mentally with food. They've been binging because there was no plan in place for that post-show period. It's really important because you're absolutely primed for fat gain. Your hormones are in the gutter. Your hunger hormones are through the roof. You want to eat everything in sight, and now you've got this freedom and you can eat what you want. It's really important to have a reverse diet or a recovery diet in place and a plan for that post-show period. Otherwise, you really are setting yourself up for failure, and that can also lead to relapses as well. So I was really conscious about having a plan post-show. So I did the show on Saturday, went out for a meal Saturday night. I had the day off my diet on Sunday, and I just had, you know, 3 meals out. And then Monday we were back on my reverse diet targets. And since then I've just been hitting those consistently and having one free meal a week, and that's basically it. And I'm pretty much, you know, I'm about a kilo of my stage weight, and that's pretty normal and to be expected. And it's been really really good so far, actually. And yes, yeah, so that's probably some of the biggest things that I would say. Make sure you have a good support system. Make sure your partner or your friends support you. Make sure you have people that you can reach out to and talk to if you're struggling. Yeah, I think that's most of the things. Is there anything else that you think?
No, I really like your answer. So I just want to pick it apart a little bit. So sure. One really important thing you mentioned are habits. And I think that's absolutely crucial, not only if you want to be on a competitive level, be it powerlifting, bodybuilding, whatever, but that whatever goal you are, you're striving for, you need to build a habit around this and the habits around this, because otherwise you won't be able to do the things consistently. And this is also something I really place very high emphasis on when I start working with people who are more beginners. And when I say they want to have, for example, a six pack, I will just teach them the right habits for like 1 or maybe even 2 months before we even start a diet. Because if they don't build the habits, they will get some results, they will do the diet, but it will just be a very, very harsh experience. And once they got the results, they will probably be like, hell yes, now I got it, now I can get back into my old crap. And then they will be very, very fast back to the point where they started. And I think that's just not something I want to do with people who work with me, because I want them to have long-term results. Because if you're having like 1 or 2 wins over the course of a couple of months, but then you're just back to your old behaviors, to your old status.
Yeah. Exactly.
It wasn't really
worth
much. So that's like the really big thing. And if you going for a competitive frame, it's just the same thing, but on a much, much higher level.
And
so that's
It's habits set yourself up for success. It makes everything easier if you have habits that you do automatically without even thinking about it. That takes one less thing off your plate. It just happens automatically. You don't need, you don't need motivation to go to the gym or to track your food or to do this, because it's just something that you do. It's part of your lifestyle. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to think about brushing your teeth, because it's just something that you do. It's part of I think also changing your identity. It's part of who you are, and you are a person that goes to the gym 5 times a week. You're a person that does not miss gym sessions. So I think changing that can be quite hard for people to change those habits that they've had, but once they've done it, things become so much easier. You don't have to rely on willpower and discipline as much, because it just becomes automatic.
Yeah, so there's, I 100% agree with this, because even if you miss the gym once, or you miss some meals, or you don't get your macros on a couple of days, if it's a habit, it will be very, very easy to get back on track. So if I miss my macros, or if I don't track for 1 or 2 weeks, like I haven't been tracking for this week, but I just know it has no impact, because I've been doing this for other 50 weeks of this year. So if I get off track like once for a brief amount of time, it just won't hurt me. And it makes everything much easier, because there's like so many people are worried. Yeah, am I going to overeat over Christmas? And is this going to wreck me? And how do I recover from this? And I don't care what I eat on Christmas, because afterwards I'm just back on track, and I don't need to weigh my food when I'm sitting at the Christmas table with my family, because I'm doing this stuff other times. And
I think that helps with building a good relationship with food too. Like, if you have these habits and structures in place for a while, that actually gives you more freedom to know that, you know, people see that I eat burgers and cookies and cake and I have a huge appetite, but they see that and they think that that's what I do all the time. But the reality is, that's one meal out of the 30 meals that I ate that week.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I tracked every single thing to the gram for the rest of the week. You know, it's you can have meals off track. It doesn't like you say, it's not about what you do. Some of the time it's about what you do all the time, and knowing that gives you a little bit of freedom. You can enjoy your life a bit more. You can, you know, say yes to friends. It's not all about restriction and deprivation. Yeah, and you can get away with a lot more when you have muscle mass as well. Yeah,
so you also mentioned something very important, to being able to enjoy the food, because for me that was something I've personally struggled a bit with in 2019, 2020, when I just realized that I need to build more mass. And I was at a point where it became just a fight. So I was basically fighting food, and it was just, I need to really get this stuff down for me to grow. And that's the point where you just don't see it as food anymore. Like, you're not enjoying the food anymore, but it turns into work. And that's quite a dangerous place to be in my opinion. And because you're starting to do all this weird stuff, like I was starting the day with putting in a shake made of peanut butter, oats, orange juice, and stuff like this. And I was pounding this down. And when I'm in the evening and I noticed that I had some macros open, I would do stuff like weighing in, for example, 50 or 80 grams of olive oil and just drink it because I wanted to go to sleep, but I had to get my calories in. This is something where you need this good, like it's like really a thin edge in my opinion between having the structures and also having the freedom to enjoy this. So, and if you do it right, as you said, you can eat at restaurants once or twice a week, and you don't have to weigh everything, and you don't have to know the exact amount of nutrients in every gram you're eating. Like when when you're preparing for a bodybuilding show, you need to know, otherwise it's not that, not that important.
And I think, if people want to do a bodybuilding competition, just being aware that, you know, that stuff does need to be a part of your life before you even consider it. But knowing as well that doing a bodybuilding prep, it's a temporary thing. This is not something that should be happening like year round necessarily. Like, yes, you want to keep it structured in your off season, but it's not something you don't need to be obsessed about it year round. And it's actually important to spend time, you know, out of a calorie deficit and just building muscle, eating at maintenance, eating at a slight surplus, building muscle. And that's the way you make improvements to your physique as well.
Yeah. And I think the important thing you also mentioned is that it has to be part of your life before you can do something like this. And you should do it for quite a while, because I know quite some people who got I need to compete and I want to get on stage, and they've been training for maybe 1 or 2 years, and I think that's something you definitely should not do. It's a big difference with powerlifting, in my opinion, because in powerlifting, if you want to try it out, just go there, because for powerlifting meet you can basically just say, I didn't prepare anything, but I can just go there and see if it works out. You won't perform at the top level, but
That's right.
But there's nothing bad going on, quote unquote bad.
No, I 100% agree with that, because I think you'll just be disappointed if you try and do a bodybuilding competition after only maybe a year or two of training, because you just won't have, once you've cut down, you just will not have the muscle density, and you will just end up looking skinny on stage. Even for myself, like, I've been training for 5 or 6 years and I was still kind of expecting to be bigger, but definitely, you know, you need to have been training and eating properly for a decent amount of time before you think about it, because it's not worth putting yourself through, you know, this really tough prep to then be disappointed when you walk out on stage. You really want to be proud of what you bring to the stage, and you need to put the time in for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Good. It has been quite some rough last 12 months. For the shit going on. How did you balance all of this, like preparing for a bodybuilding show, running your gym through some rough times, building your online business, and still also doing the training and everything?
It can be stressful at times, but I think obviously I'm very lucky owning a gym. I can train. I can kind of fit my training in when I need to, and cardio, and I can just get it done. But the most important thing for me is that I just need to get up early enough to get it done. If you can't fit it in your day, you just need to get up earlier. That's the harsh reality of it. Yes, sleep is important, but if you can't get your training session in, then, you know, at some point you're going to have to make some kind of compromise. You know, people say, well, they're not a morning person. Well, like, now you are. You got to get up earlier. You have to plan ahead. You really need to be structured and plan things out. If you don't plan your meals, if you don't plan when you're going to get your training session done, if you don't allow time for these things, then they're probably not going to happen. If you don't structure yourself and your day around what you know you need to get done, it's probably not going to get happen. I'm massive on like to-do lists, and I make sure that the things that I need to get done are scheduled in and time is blocked out for those things, whether that's training, meal prep, client work. And it's just about being disciplined with yourself. And for me, I just know that if I get my training done early, then nothing can get in the way of that later on, because, you know, life happens. Sometimes things come up. You don't plan for your car to break down or whatever. But if you've done your training already, then, you know, your number one priorities are getting done first, then you're setting yourself up for success. So, yeah, it's just about time management, really, and planning, you know, planning things out, because I know a lot of people just wing it and then they get to lunchtime and they haven't got their meals and they've got to go and find something at the supermarket, and you're just setting yourself up for failure, really, if you're not structuring things. And that's where those habits come in that you should already have established if you're going into a prep. And yeah, it can definitely be hard at times, like managing it all, but I think if you are going to do something like a competition prep, maybe realizing that this ideal of like balance might go out the window for, you know, 16 weeks, and that's okay. It doesn't always have to be balanced, as long as it's temporary. You know, if you have a goal and you want to go for it, then that might mean that you have to make sacrifices in other areas. So my social life definitely took a bit of a hit. I definitely missed, you know, not being able to go out for meals with my friends and enjoy stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I am introverted, so it didn't really matter to me that much. But it's temporary, and those things will come back into your life. But if you have a goal and you are driven to achieve that goal, then you have to look at, you know, what areas you're willing to sacrifice. So for me, my main priorities was training, prepping, and my business. And that was, and my relationship with my partner. But to be honest, it was probably mainly just training, prepping, and my business were probably, you know, you just have to make sacrifices in other areas of your life. And that's where I would say to, if you want to do a competition prep, look at where you are at in your life. Do you have kids? Are you going through a really stressful time at work at the moment? You know, maybe it's not the best time for you to be starting a bodybuilding prep or any kind of prep, if that's the case. So just being honest with yourself, do I actually have the time and the mental capacity to do this right now? Like you said, powerlifting is different. You can kind of get away with training, and your nutrition doesn't really have to be like amazing to be able to do a powerlifting meet, especially at the beginner level. And it's kind of, that's great. It makes it a lot more accessible for people, a lot more fun. And so I always try and encourage my clients to, you know, if they are busy people, maybe they can set a goal for powerlifting meet or a performance goal as opposed to doing like a contest prep. Yeah, hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, I think there's was a really, really great answer, because there also here's a lot of stuff we can dig deeper into. And I think it's just a lot easier if it's part of your lifestyle already. And this doesn't really matter that much if you're doing powerlifting, if you're doing weightlifting, if you're doing bodybuilding. If it's already part of your lifestyle, you don't have a problem putting more time into that. Because I spend 8 hours a week in the gym, or if I spend 15 hours a week in the gym, I don't have a problem with that. And for me, when I prepare for a powerlifting meet, I just know that in those months I won't, or I will probably have to cut down a bit on my social life. I mean, social life right now in Europe is dead anyways.
Pretty non-existent, yeah.
But that's just, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I also really like that how seeing the balance thing, because if you have big goals and if you have big multiple goals, for example, having a competition or building a business and or any other thing, it will just require more of your resources, and that can be time, that can be energy, can also be money, and you need to get really aware about what you want to do, and to set clear priorities and not go into too many things at once. Like, I think that's one big thing. And the great thing about this is this applies to everything. This isn't just in training and nutrition. The same thing in business. And when I was preparing for my first powerlifting competition, I was preparing for this competition. I started building my business. I was doing the last few exams for my university degree. I was doing my thesis and all of this at once. And it was, you're just basically this machine doing this thing. And you're just going to the gym. And what I find really exhausting, when you shop before powerlifting, your body is just a mess. So you're getting weird sorts of pain, and you know, okay, I gotta squat again today, and I'm so tired, and all of this. And the most important thing here, in my opinion, what helped me really a lot is to not get into self-pity, not like, oh, I'm so tired, but I gotta train. Because if you get into this sort of thinking, you're basically just lost. I really liked the approach was to just go, okay, I chose this situation. And also in last year, when I got a bit into a rut because of business and how things were turning out, it was just, look, you've chosen this situation. It was not like you were forced to go for all this and you wanted to do this. And
this
is something that just puts you in a much more powerful place, and you won't get into all this victim bullshit, because that's the thing which can make it harder than the task itself. Because as I said, if you only got to have time in the morning to train in the morning, then that's the choice you got to make. I started to train in the morning as well, and I was like the complete opposite of a morning person. So if I don't, if I didn't put an alarm, I would just sleep in till till noon. And I can get up, and I know I can get up at 5 and go to the gym. It works. And but if I create stories around with how hard it is going to be, and that I'm not a morning person, and that I can't train in the morning, That's the big thing, in my opinion, which you can also take from all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that was the same as me with my prep. I never wanted to complain about how tired or hungry or difficult it was, because at the end of the day, that was my choice to go through it and to do it. And I just wanted to make sure that I was trying to not make my choices have any impact on the people around me, and I didn't want to complain about it too much because it was something that I chose. And I think that's a powerful thing that you can, choose to reframe things. I chose this, and then it makes it almost seem not as bad, because at the end of the day, this is what you wanted. This is your goal. This is what you are wanting to achieve. So if that's the case, then maybe, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. But anything worthwhile doing in life is generally not easy. So if you look at your struggles as being, actually, this is good that I'm struggling, because it means I'm working towards something that's going to be rewarding and challenging and is going to make me grow as a person, then it makes those hard times a little bit easier to get through.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, I
Yeah.
think this is a good place to round things up. Do you got anything left to say, for example, or maybe to people who are in a tough place regarding food? Because I mean, if you're in this place, you just, in my opinion, have an amazing
Yeah.
story to what is
Yeah.
possible, how you can change and put it into something much more positive.
Yeah, I think firstly, don't be afraid to reach out if you're struggling. Like, I know when I was at my worst, I felt so alone. I felt like no one could understand what I was going through. I felt like I was just crazy. Like, I had all these, like, I was the only person in the world that was experiencing this, but actually, there are a lot of people going through this, and reaching out and talking to someone that you trust is going to just help so much. I never found much help through like psychologists or therapy, but explore that as well if that is something that might help you. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed to talk about it, because lots of people go through it. It's really common. I would also say, try and look at your eating habits and your workout habits as not about the way you look, but try and reframe it and think about, wow, like what my body can do, and think about fueling your body to perform. It's not about being the smallest person in the world. If you can reframe things and think about, okay, me eating this food is actually going to help me in the gym. It's going to help me perform better. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to have more energy, and I'm going to build the muscle that I want, or I'm going to be able to get that pull up that I wanted, or I'm going to be able to deadlift twice my body weight. Try and think about it like that. And yeah, I'm happy for people to reach out to me as well, if they have concerns or struggles. I always happy for people to talk to me about those kinds of things. And don't underestimate the power of your mind. What you tell yourself and the things that you say to yourself are really powerful. And if you can become aware of the narratives that you are telling yourself, and you can actively change that. And that's a really powerful thing, is you can control your, not you can control your mind, but you can take control of your thoughts. And you actually, you're in control, and you can change the way that you're thinking with a bit of work. Affirmations, things like that. Like, it sounds a bit woo-woo, but it's definitely, the mind is a really powerful thing. So yeah, I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome. And I just can just agree on this. You're not alone in this. So if you're struggling with confidence, if you think that this just sucks and it's not going to end and you're powerless, you're not alone in
Yeah.
this. There's countless people who dealt with this problem in some way or another way, like as you probably heard by us talking, we both went through this and we
Yeah.
both came out on top of this. And that's
Exactly.
the major thing here is if you're going through some rough times, I went through some rough times last year. It's definitely some of my lowest lows last year, but now I'm just much, much stronger, and there's definitely a lot of power in tough circumstances. And
exactly.
Important thing is also what you said here is to just get your mind into a into a more positive, into a more powerful frame, to work from a place of not being a victim to this stuff going on. And if you can, or if you can put yourself into this, and it's definitely possible, then you'll come out on top of this.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for being here today.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you asking me to do this. So, yeah, thank you. That's awesome. No, I'll just leave you sharing it.
Where can they, if someone wants to reach out for you, where can they reach you?
So probably the best place would be Instagram, jade_powerlifts. And I also have a website, jadesbister.com, where people can find out about my coaching services and stuff like that.
All right. So that's the episode for today. Thank you very much for tuning in. As always, you can reach me on my Instagram, on Manuel Kiselak. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you like the podcast, share it with your friends, and I'm looking forward to hearing you on the next episode as well. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this entire podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please share it with your friends and on social media. And if you're interested into more awesome episodes coming up, subscribe to this channel. I'm looking forward to tuning in with you on the next episode. Bye.